Man, it's the new year. I have a hard time believing it's 2020. I remember being very worried about 2000 hitting the calendar and all the computers just freaking out and dying, because that's what everybody was saying. It would be the end of the world, Y2K. And that's been 20 years ago. Like, that's a long time. But we're happy that a new year begins. New years are about new beginnings. They really are. It's symbolic almost. It's expected that we look at the new year and we say, okay, the last year, you know, things may have been bad. They may not have been that great. But this coming new year, I'm going to do things differently. We talk about, you know, last year, you know, I really wanted to get this done and that done and the other thing done, and I didn't get it done. But this year, I'm going to get it done. You know, there's all the memes about, you know, how many of your New Year's resolutions have you already, you know, crashed, and we're in January 2nd, okay? It's just, but we tend to focus on the fact that a new year is a new beginning. And I want to take that theme tonight, and I want us to think about it in a little bit of a different light. I want us to think that every day that we wake up is an opportunity for a new beginning in our lives, for doing things right. It's a fresh start. Every day is a fresh start. And sometimes it takes a commemorative day like today or yesterday, New Year's Day, for us to really say, you know what, I got to make some changes. There are just some things I don't want to continue to do or experience or live in. And so we take these days because they shake us. They confront us. A new year, new beginning, new. Now, from God's perspective, from our everyday life as Christians, from our perspective, aren't we glad we get a fresh start? I know I am. Man, if this was a one and done game, we'd all have lost the game. We would all be lost. It's not. The God that we serve is a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God that allows us second chances and third chances and fourth chances. His grace is far greater than ours. We're not so merciful. We don't allow so many chances of others. But God seems to have this incredibly abundant storehouse of grace for us and a fresh start. And you go through the whole Bible. It's an amazing study if you go through all the characters of the Bible and the lives they lived and the mess ups that they did and the new beginnings they had and then the mess ups they had and the fresh start they had again. And you start to see a pattern here. It's the human struggle. We all have this struggle. But I think that sometimes we realize and we're at a place in our lives where we say, you know what, that's enough. I need a change. Something needs to give. And sometimes we're there. Some people are there. They come to a point in their lives where, you know what? I cannot do this anymore. And they put their foot down and they make that decision. I'm going to start again. I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to make these changes that I know I've had to make, but I haven't made them. But not everybody's there. That's a great place to be because, although it's a painful place to be, it's what motivates us to do something. It's that person who's had a heart attack and says, you know what? I got to take care of myself. I can't keep eating the way that I'm eating. So is the heart attack a good thing? No, it's not. But in that scenario, it's a wake-up call. It's a, you know what? If you keep doing what you're doing, it's not working. It's not going to work. So these painful and difficult situations in our lives motivate us to do things differently, to make changes. But not everybody's there. I think most people are on the other side of that coin. Most people are living their lives. They're not doing so well, maybe spiritually or economically or health-wise or relationally. They're not doing so well in some aspect or all the aspects of their lives, but they they haven't come to a point of saying, you know what, I need to do something different. I need to change. They haven't reached that point where, or they haven't come to the realization that they have to press the button and restart again the game. You know, I'm not a gamer, and my thumbs are very stiff. I'm challenged that way. I can only press one button at one time. And so I'm not a gamer, but I know that when I was growing up, the beginnings of gaming were starting. And I remember I love the restart button, because a lot of the games had a restart button. So you start to mess up and you press that and you start again. Then you're messing up and you press it and you start again. And it was amazing, because you know what? You can mess up until you got a really good one, a really good game in. And then you were really happy with what you had done. But a lot of times we haven't reached that place. And so what happens? God wants us to make changes in our lives for our own benefit, for our own blessing. God wants us to live an abundant life. God wants us to live a healthy life. God wants us to have healthy relationships. God wants us to be financially stable. God wants us to live life in a way that is honorable and with dignity. But a lot of times, we're not willing to make the changes. We haven't come to the point of saying, okay, I got to do something about this. And so what does God do? He prompts us. He takes the initiative to push us into the direction that we need to go so that we can make the changes we need to make. And I want to read a passage in the Bible where that happened. And I don't want you to be overwhelmed with the details of what happened historically or anything of that. I just want you to listen to the reasoning, God's logic and reasoning with his people. As he tries to get them to understand, you guys need a fresh start. You guys need to refocus. You need to make some changes in your life and get right. Get right in this area, that area, the other area. In this particular story that I'm going to read with you, what they needed to get focused on was on God's house, on God's things. These people were doing, they seemed to be doing okay. They really weren't. But the one area that they had neglected completely was God. They had neglected God. They had neglected serving God. They had neglected doing anything for God. And God is not okay with that. We're created to have a relationship with him. We're created to worship him. We're created to be blessed by him. And so it's like that parent whose child doesn't talk to them, or that wife whose husband won't talk to her, or that, you know, that son whose dad won't talk to him. You know, if the relationship is not working, you know, something's got to be done. And our relationship with God is the one area that these people were really struggling in. So I want you to open your Bibles in a small little book called Haggai. He's a prophet in the Old Testament, Haggai. Very historical book, incredible time in history for the people of Israel. But I want to point out some ideas and some logic and argumentation from God as he evaluates the mentality of the people. And maybe tonight we can relate. Maybe tonight we can think, you know what? Maybe I'm thinking that way. Maybe I should change the way I'm thinking about this or that or the other. So Haggai chapter 1, it's only a 2-chapter book, so we're not going to read all of it, but we're going to read some parts of it. I'll give you a little bit of a background. These people were stuck. They were stuck. They had returned to their promised land after being in captivity for 70 years. God allowed them to come back to the promised land. And they got back, and the first thing God said to them was, build my temple, and I'll take care of everything else. You take care of me, I'll take care of everything else. And they started, and they laid out the huge foundation for the temple. The foundation was huge. That was a big, big job. They did it, and they did it with excellence. And they had a worship service as soon as the floor was done. Basically, what they did was the floor, the entire floor of what would be the church. And then they said, hey, but wait a minute. You know what? We're going to continue building the church, but what about our houses? What about our needs? And what about this? And what about that? And what about the walls? And what about, I mean, there's other things we need to do. So they became distracted and they stopped working on the temple. Now, God is a merciful God. He wanted them to build the temple first, but you know what? Okay, just get to it. Get it done. But they didn't. And a year went by and they didn't touch it. And 2 years went by and they didn't come back to it. And 3 years and 4 years and 5 years and 10 years and 15 years. And this passage we're going to read happens 20 years after they had abandoned the job. They were supposed to build the temple. They did the floor and they stopped and they never went back. 20 years later. I'm sure these people knew they needed to do this. And I'm sure they did some of the same things we do. I'm going to get to it. This coming year, I'm going to get to it. You know, next year, for sure, we got to do this. All right, guys, I mean, we really got to do this next year, all right? Everybody with me? Yeah, we're going to do it next year. And next year would come and nothing would happen. And then, oh, man, we never got to the temple this year. Let's try it again next year. Never got to it. And God was trying to get their attention slowly, trying to get them to refocus. Hey, you know what? You're neglecting me. Your life seems to be going okay, but it's not going to be okay if you neglect me. I want to be in your life. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you guys to be in communion with me. And so that's the background of what is happening here. And the attitude of a lot of the people was that, you know what, we're going to get to it, but it's not time yet. Look with me. I'm reading NIV in this one because I like the way the words are better on the NIV for this one. But any version you're looking at is fine. Look at verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. That was the attitude of the people. You know what? We're going to get to it, but it's not right now. We're going to get to it, but the time has not come here yet. That was the attitude, okay? And God kind of sends a message to them and says to them, is it time, verse 4, for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? See, it's almost as if God is saying to them, you guys maybe even asked me for permission. Maybe you guys said, Lord, can we build our houses and so we have a roof over our head and then we'll take care of this? It's almost like that's what God is saying. He says, okay, you got your houses. They're really nice houses. If you look at the Hebrew language, the adjective used to describe the houses is that they were works of craftsmanship. Their houses were like really nice houses. And God's okay with that. God doesn't have a problem with that. But God is saying, okay, but you did what you were going to do. Why haven't you come back to do what you needed to do? You went and you did what you took care of. You went and you got your career, or you went and you had your family, or you went and you and you did, you know, you did what you needed, you thought was more important, you did it. But when are you going to come back and do what I'm asking you to do? You're not doing it. You said that it's not time yet. And God is trying to tell him, you know what? It's time. It's time. You need to get back to it. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 5. Give careful thought to your ways. Stop and think about this. Stop and meditate on your life. That's what he's saying. Stop and take an inventory of your life. There's a lot going on that you may not even be aware of, he's telling them. Stop and take a minute to think about what's happening in your life. You think all is good? All is not good, but you're so busy you haven't stopped to realize that it's not good. Take a minute to think about it. That's what he says to them. And then he tells them, he says, let me point out some things to you that you haven't noticed, apparently. Verse 6, you've planted much, but you harvested little. Haven't you guys noticed that you prepare the fields and you put so many seeds out there, and then when the harvest comes, there's hardly any fruit? Haven't you noticed that? Year after year, he says, you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. What's he telling him? You guys are seeking to be satisfied, and you do this and you do that, but you're never really fully satisfied. You're not filled. You don't feel like you've had a good amount, like you're satisfied. He says, you earn your wages. I'm sorry, you put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. What is he saying to them? You're making all this money, yes, and then by the time you go to look at your money, there's nothing left. It seems like there's a hole in your purse. It's obviously an analogy or a figure of speech to say you're spending more than you're making because what you're making is not enough. Man, you stop to think about it. If all of this was happening to them, they were going through some rough times. They were having problems with agriculture. Their money was not enough. They were having economic problems. They were having emotional problems. They weren't satisfied. You know, they were probably having relational problems because of all of this. And yet they thought it wasn't time to deal with God yet. And God says, hey, you guys need to stop and think about this for a minute. Stop and think about what's happening in your life. And he reminds them again, verse 7. Again, the same words. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Again, he says, you know what? Stop. Think about what's happening. Look at verse 9. Here's what he tells them, what they may not have noticed. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. God is telling him, you know what? You're not going through a streak of bad luck. This is not bad luck. This is not that you've fallen on hard times. I'm doing this. I'm holding back my blessing in your lives. I'm holding back the rain. I'm holding back what you need to be able to do everything you need to do. Why am I doing this? Because you guys need to stop and think about what you are neglecting. You're neglecting me. You're neglecting what I asked you to do. You're neglecting my house. And you know what? I'm not okay with that. See, God, what I see happening here is that God, because he's so merciful, he gives us room. He gives us leeway. He lets us run. He lets us do. He lets us, you know, lose our focus. He gives us, in Spanish, there's a saying that says que le da soga. You know, he gives him rope. He just lets him go. He lets him go. But eventually, you know what? He reels him back in. Eventually, you know what? I was hoping you would come back on your own. I was hoping you would realize that you have been neglecting me. But since you're not, let me show you what happens when you and I are not in a good place. And all of this is obviously done in love. All of this is done in love. But they were taking their blessings for granted. They were neglecting God and expecting everything to be good and dandy. And God tells them, right in the middle of this whole discourse, he says, here's what I want you to do different. I want a fresh start from you. I want a new beginning. But Lord, it's been 20 years that we haven't done anything in the church. How could we fix this? We've neglected you for 20 years. There's no way to fix this. We've messed this up too bad. And God is saying, no, you haven't. There's always a chance to start again. Look at what it says, verse 8. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Very simple. Hey, go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. It's not too late. You can still build my house. And the message is obvious to us. It's not too late. As long as we're alive, as long as we have breath in our nostrils, it's not too late to get things right with God. It's not too late to come back. It's not too late to do what God would have us do, to recommit to doing what God would have us do. Now, what God wants us to do takes some work. It's not easy. They had to work hard. Physically, they had to work hard. They had to go up that mountain, cut timber, bring it down, and do construction work. Build the temple. Build it. What is God suggesting in all of this? And I know we've skipped some verses, but what is God suggesting in all of this? He's suggesting, look, you want everything to get back to being good? You want to plant a lot of little seeds and get a lot of fruit? You want to earn your wages in a bag that isn't broken so that it lasts you a little bit? You want to eat and drink and be satisfied? You want to enjoy life? You want this bad streak of bad things to stop? Well, do what I asked. Just do what I asked. Build my house. Now, obviously, God doesn't want you and me to go build a church, to go build a temple in some vacant lot. Obviously, I think it's obvious that what the lesson or the principle for us is that having our relationship right with God is conditional. It's necessary for us to have blessings. God's blessings and abundant blessings and satisfaction and provision in our lives is guaranteed when we are right with Him. And we cannot take for granted the blessings. See, did God have a problem with them building their houses? No. Did God have a problem with them prospering economically? No. Did God have a problem with them having fun? No. And eating and drinking? God had no problem with any of that. It's when it's that, but not God. That's what He has a problem with. He expects us to do all of that while maintaining a relationship with Him, while staying connected to Him, because then we can do all of that in a way that honors Him and brings Him glory. And when He's content with us, it's like when Dad's happy. I remember when my dad was content with us, woof, it was good times. When Dad was happy with us, Saturday morning, he'd bring some Cuban bread, and we'd have this amazing breakfast and everything. When Dad wasn't too happy, it was like Saturday morning, hey, get up, we're going to mow the lawn, we're going to work on the house, we're going to paint this, we're going to do that. Like, well, what about the Cuban bread? Just drink a cup of milk and let's go. Like, okay. It's like we want God to be content with us, but we need it. He doesn't. We do. Now, go to the bottom of that chapter with me. By confronting them this way, look what happened. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of a bunch of guys, okay? The governor, the high priest, and the whole remnant of people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. 24th day of the sixth month. Just keep that in the back of your head, okay? And now, go to chapter 2 with me. Verse 15. Now, give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. God again confronts them. Now, they've been working on that temple, and they're finished. And we're going to see the date in a minute. They rebuilt the entire temple in 3 months. What they had neglected for 20 years, they were able to do in 3 months. And now God is telling them, you know what? I want you to think about this. He told them a little while ago, haven't you thought about why this and this is happening? Stop and meditate on it. Meditate on that. Now He says, meditate on this. I want you to see the contrast. I want you to see the way things were when you neglected me? Before you ever put a single stone to build my temple? And I want you to see how they're going to be now that you have built my temple. I want you to notice the difference. I want you to see that when I want to bless you, I bless you. And when you're right with me, you have my blessing. Verse 16, when anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. That was back then. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. All of that was happening. But what is happening now? Now that you've built my temple, look at verse 19. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. Ha, but from this day on, I will bless you. From this point forward, I will bless you. I will bless you. And we continue to read the story in the other prophets, and we figure out that what happened was amazing. Israel entered into a tremendous period of prosperity. Why? God promised them. He says, look, you get right with me, and I'll take care of the rest. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. That's a story. I mean, you're stretching this. The principles are found in the New Testament as well. In Matthew chapter 6, what does Jesus say? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And what's going to happen to everything else? It's going to be added on. It's going to happen. It's going to be taken care of. Jesus telling us the same thing that God told the people of Israel. Seek me. Take care of your spiritual connection with me first, and I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of the rest. Seek the kingdom of God, and I will take care of the rest. Now, I want you to look at that passage with me, and we're going to finish with that, with a short reflection on that. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to bring, will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are we supposed to do? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be given unto you. Again, we read a verse like that, and it's hard for us to grasp in a certain sense because there's no kingdoms now. We don't live in a world with kingdoms. I mean, you could say that some of the Saudi governments are kingdoms and royalty, but we don't live in a world with kingdoms. What was a kingdom back then? A kingdom back then was a city surrounded by a wall for security, and everybody lived in it, and there was a king. That was the kingdom in biblical times, in the New Testament times. So Jerusalem was a city. It was a kingdom. It was surrounded by walls, and there was somebody in charge. And the idea is this. The king that rules the kingdom, follow me, because this is an amazing application. A king who rules the kingdom is the one who's responsible for what? He's responsible for protecting his people. He's responsible for providing for his people, provision. A good king makes sure his people are safe, their stomachs are full, and there's prosperity in his kingdom. That reflects on him being a good king. Now, where are you going to find the protection that the king is going to give you? Inside the walls of the kingdom. Where are you going to find the food and the provision? Inside the walls of the kingdom. Where are you going to be safe and content and have everything you need? Inside the walls of the kingdom. And what Jesus is saying, look, if you're out there roaming in the woods, don't come complaining to me that somebody did something to you, that you're suffering, that you were not protected, that you're hungry, that you did not have what you needed. You want all of that, you have to be in here. You seek first the kingdom. You come into the kingdom and don't worry about the rest. I'll take care of the rest. I'll provide everything you need. That's the spiritual lesson here. That's what God is telling us. And he told the people in the times of Haggai, and he's telling us now, look, new beginnings, fresh start, seek me. Seek to establish that relationship with me, and I'll take care of the rest. What anxieties do you have? I'll take care of it. What stresses you out? I'll take care of it. What provisions do you need? I'll take care of it. What do I want from you? Seek me. Have a relationship with me. Have a relationship with me. That's so a new beginning, a fresh start, is an opportunity for all of us here tonight to refocus on having that relationship with God that he wants us to have with him. Whatever has led us to be neglectful of God, if that's where we are, whatever has led us to be cold towards God or the things of the Lord, whatever has positioned us to be distracted, we need to take a moment and think about our lives. Think about all that God has done for us. If you're here tonight, God has blessed you. You're not in a hospital right now. I know a lot of friends that are, and people that are right now, and that will be there tomorrow. You're here right now, it's because you're not dead. You have life. You're here right now is because you're able to, you're wealthier than most of the people on this planet. God has been more than good with us. More than undeservingly good with us. How have we been with him? Is he a priority in our lives? Are we building his house, or are we neglecting it? How long has it been since we have wanted to even have that relationship with God, that intimacy with him? See, coming to church doesn't make you be intimate with God, by the way. I hope that's not what I'm talking about. I'm glad you're here, and we need to come. And the Bible says that we should not do like the others that do not congregate. We need to get together in fellowship. We're the body of Christ. We need to work together. That's all good and dandy. But that doesn't mean your relationship with God is in a good place. We can come to church and leave church, and it doesn't make us right with God. It's got to start in the heart and in the mind. We have to make a conscious choice that we're going to do something different. And we're going to do something different starting now. Let's not leave it for tomorrow, because tomorrow becomes the next day, and that becomes the next year. And what's going to happen is God is going to start bringing you in. God's going to start closing things off, and God's going to start squeezing areas of your life because he wants you in a relationship with him. And that's a very good thing. That the creator of the universe even wants to talk to us, that's an amazing thing. That he wants to be in a relationship, amazing. And that he's pursuing us, think about that. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing me. The creator of the universe is pursuing us. He wants that relationship with us. And it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to be derailed. It's so easy to not focus on the priorities. You can do everything you've planned with your life, but let God be a part of it. Connect with God. Let him be a part of everything you do. Let him be a part of you, of your life, your heart, your mind, your soul. Be in that relationship with him. That's what a fresh start is all about. Not because it's January 2nd and we're starting 2020 and this is the year to get right with God. No. Every day when we wake up in the morning is another opportunity for us to get right with God. So let's make today that opportunity. Let's stand up tonight.